Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for Closing the Wealth Gap. The one show, maybe the only show that shows you how to close the wealth gap in your own life with the man who's done it for many, our wealth coach himself, Tyrone French. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another explosive episode of Closing the Wealth Gap. I'm your host, Tyrone French. Hey, you know what? Before we get started, I do this every single time, and I appreciate you guys going to my website and downloading my app. But I'm going to continue to do it out of habit or sometimes out of necessity. But I want you to go to my website, www.tyronefrench.com, download my free app. A lot of people, they found my financial planning guide. This financial planning guide, like if you go to a professional, let's say if you go to a certified financial planner or chartered financial consultant, a lot of times they'll charge in excess of $1,500 for a financial plan. Well, guess what? You can find a variation of that same financial plan free on my website. Download my app for free and then download a free financial planner.
So how do they do this? Where's the app?
Go to my website, TyroneFrench.com, and just hit the button. I have a button on there that says app. APP for people that are dyslexic.
Yeah, spell it. Spell it for us there.
And, yeah, but again, there's so much great. There's so many resources on that app. But take the first step. Download that app. Get your financial plan. And then just give us a call. And also, we're going to talk about veterans on this show. So, like, if you're a veteran and a lot of times you're having an issue where you need to talk to somebody, you can call and leave a message 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at my phone number. It's 877-296-5192. That's 877-296-5192. And just vent. There's a live person that's going to pick up the phone. Just vent and just leave us a message, and I guarantee you, I will give you a call back. So that being said, without further ado, we're going to get into the show because Paul kind of interrupted my intro.
I did. I'm sorry.
Inadvertently.
I wanted to make sure that they knew how to spell app.
You know, I had to think about that myself. But I tell you what, man, we're going to have a very, very special show today because I brought my daughter back into the studio, Jasmine Nicole French.
Hello.
Looking beautiful today. By popular demand.
By popular demand.
Yeah.
Man, she kind of took over the show last week.
Maybe. Just trying to be subtle about
just
it.
Just calm demeanor. Subtle. And how do you feel today?
I'm pretty good.
All right.
Got me out the house again. So.
She's getting ready to go to Guam. That's what I heard the last time. Who goes to Guam? I don't even know where Guam is. I got to look it up on a globe or something.
Yeah, she said, this girl.
Yep.
Sign me up.
You know, Guam is a U.S. territory. A lot of people don't know that.
Is it a territory? Or some of these have weird, like the Marshall Islands or...
Like Virgin Islands.
Virgin Islands. Some of them, they have like weird status. They're not a territory. They're a dependency or there are other things.
No, they're a U.S. territory.
Okay.
Yeah. And matter of fact, they got it from the during the Spanish-American War.
Same time when we got all these other things here.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, with me being stationed over there back in the early 80s, I fell in love with the island. I mean, just right off the bat, it's beautiful. The same way that a lot of people in the United States look at Hawaii.
Right.
That's how a lot of people from Japan and the Philippines and that region, that's how they look at Guam. It's a resort island. That's where they get away. And it's duty-free. So the same Cartier or what's the name of the bags
a lot
of
women like? Jasmine knows all these things.
Not just Coach, but what the other high-end?
Louis Vuitton, Gucci,
yeah.
Chanel bags.
All of those stores are over there.
Yep.
On Guam. Yeah, they call it Hotel Island. Oh, no, Hotel Row. Yeah.
So that's where she's going to be, just hanging out with her Gucci bag over in Guam here.
I prefer Coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, hey, look at the hat.
Oh, there you go.
Coach, yeah. You know, I never thought of that.
Yeah, I programmed it young.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
Programmed it young. I remember the first time, Jasmine, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first time we went to the Coach store, I had bought this BMW, beautiful white BMW, and went to get it on the highway. And we ended up going to this Coach, what do you call those retail stores?
The outlet?
Yeah, the outlet.
I think it was Citadel, right?
Citadel.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
And she went into that store, Paul, and she looked like a crackhead. My goodness. I was like,
you could have said a kid in a candy store. Yeah,
a crackhead. That's a pretty harsh one.
Yeah, like I walked in scratching my
head. She started scratching. Like,
was she sweating? She was like salivating. I gotta have this. I need it.
And she's been hooked on Coach ever since.
They're good quality bags. I mean, I've had this one of my first bags from when I was like, I think 18.
Yeah,
like one of my first big purchases, it was like a little clutch bag, and I still have it to this day. Like, I'll use it for like small like venues that don't have like big or against big bag policies and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's super handy and it still like holds up.
Well, I tell you, we went to the naval station, North Island.
Uh-oh.
And went to the exchange, and Paul, guess what, they had a whole section of guess what, Coach bags.
A naval station in San Diego?
I'm telling you, the Navy Exchange, they got it going on.
Man.
Navy, they got it going on. So she walked in that Coach section, and it was like deja vu. The scratching, the sweat, the perspiration.
Eyes got big.
Every time we go, I always make a beeline.
Pupils dilated. So needless to say, she loves Coach.
So she's going to be in heaven when she goes to Guam.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I said sometimes she's got to call us from Guam. Tell us, give us the report, you know, on the front lines. What's happening in Guam? The weatherman. What's
yes.
it like in Guam? But yes. It's tomorrow already in Guam, right?
Yep. It's already tomorrow.
As long as there's no typhoon, then.
Oh, typhoons? They got typhoons there and stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
Maybe I won't.
As a matter of fact, that's what slowed up her departure. They had two typhoons within the last, 6 months?
Within weeks. That was like a 6-week difference.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. That's the only downside. It's tropical storms and typhoons.
So is she going to give us a Closing the Wealth Gap Gen Z perspective today here? Is that the whole title of the show?
Well, I tell you what, Paul, you reading my type. My
Much as we could talk about Guam all day.
I'm gonna go ahead and I'm going to mute your mic, man, so we can have a conversation.
That's right. I'll let you go.
So, Jasmine.
Yes.
Give us your Gen Z's perspective on closing the wealth gap. You see how that got this, like, this echo in the room?
Yeah. I mean, my generation has it a lot different from yours. You know, back then you would have pensions. You know, you're working because, you know, for retirement.
Right.
A lot of people I know nowadays, is if you're not living with your parents, you've got a bunch of roommates sharing a 2-bedroom apartment with like 5 people, just making it work. If you're not having a main job, you're, you know, having 2 side jobs.
But, you know, they used to call those actors.
Or entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but again, a lot of people, they're leaving home a lot later.
Yeah.
A lot later. And like you said, you know, they got rid of the the traditional pension because they ushered in what was called the 401k.
Yep.
And the 401k was never designed to replace the pension. But companies realized that they could save money by, you know, offloading that to the individual, the employee. And lo and behold, what they found over, you know, years is that the average person only has about $27,000 in a 401k for retirement. So when they realized that, hey, you know, we put this burden on the consumer, and they really are not financially literate, and they're not saving enough money to retire. So guess what? We're just going to cancel retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the reality now. A lot of people cannot afford to retire. And Paul, you know, we had that conversation earlier about, you know, people not being able to retire. And I said, well, you know, there is a subset that's doing extremely well in retirement, and that's veterans. So
that was what shocked me your last show. He your guest, Rick, what's his name?
Rick Putman.
He calls himself happily retired. And I know that does have to be funny, but you know how many people are going to be happily retired? I'm not sure we're all going to be able to retire. Not much, not happily.
That's another thing about the military, though. It's a great, I call it a cheat sheet, because, again, think about it. You go into the military, and the military creates veterans. I mean, that's just what they do. They create veterans.
I guess. Okay.
And so the average person, when you're younger, you're not thinking about compounding interest, you know, and taking a small amount and actually having it to double. I mean, like, let's say if you got a 10% interest rate.
Right.
If you take the rule of 72 and divide it by the interest rate, it's going to tell you how long it's going to take for that money to double. When you're in the military, the standard retirement is like 20 years. So you can go in at 18, 19 years old, and you're retired at 38.
Yeah, right.
38, 39 years old. So guess what? If you do it right, do it correctly, use that TSP, that thrift savings plan, all that money that's going into that plan is compounding because you're using the S&P 500. So it has an opportunity to compound three times before you even retire. So now you got that money that you saved in your own retirement plan. Again, you're not dealing with just $27,000.
Yeah.
You know, you're dealing with a nice nest egg. Also, you're going to get your retirement pay. And after you've done, and sometimes people retire after 20 years. But once you get, you got the TSP, you got the retirement, but then you're dealing with VA compensation based on disabilities.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother avenue. So we're talking about multiple income streams for people that's in their, not even hit 40 years old yet. So they go off and start another career. A lot of times, may end up in another government position, like a GS-14 or whatever. And they do that for 20 years. And guess what? Now they're about 60 years old with another stream of income.
Amazing.
And by that time, they're 60. Let's say this at 62. Now they're drawing their Social Security.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it's the ultimate cheat code that a lot of people don't consider about the military. And we haven't even talked about buying a home and using a VA loan to buy property with no money down.
Why doesn't everybody do this? Or do they? Because you've said many times so many veterans ignore all these benefits or don't take advantage of them or don't use them to their full advantage.
Well, when you're on active duty, they're not going to tell you about your benefits. And then when you get out, the VA is not going to write you a letter and tell you about your benefits.
They don't?
No, they're not. It's just something you need to be in the right group or the right network in order to get this information. And so that's why I'm really, really excited about Jasmine and her husband, because he started out, I mean, he's a young man and he's already on the right track as far as closing the wealth gap. Matter of fact, he came to me and said, Mr. French, I want to contribute more money to my TSP.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, you can absolutely do that, but not right now. You know, get your wife to Guam, get her established. And then once you establish yourself on Guam, absolutely start contributing more money to your TSP. Why? Because he's receiving a housing allowance now.
Oh.
He's receiving overseas benefits and things like that. So his paycheck is
going to be... You get more for going overseas?
Exactly. Exactly. You get more money.
More money.
Even when you go out to sea, you know, you got, you know, the sea duty, and depending on what you're doing, it's hazardous duty pay. And guess what? A lot of those incentives, they're tax-free.
Jeez.
And again, you don't have the other responsibilities that a lot of civilians have with housing costs, healthcare costs, food. Yeah. So all of that money is accumulating in your TSP. And guess what? The military will actually do a match on your TSP.
What?
Yes.
So why aren't veterans coming out loaded? Why aren't they coming out?
Because they just don't have the information, Paul. Nobody's going to sit them down and tell them. As a matter of fact, they have what's called a TAP, where before they get out of the military, they go through this transition program. And they only talk about veterans issues or budgeting and saving. And, you know, it's like a couple of hours, you know, because, again, they're transitioning and then they're out. So like I was saying, you know, Jasmine, I want you to jump in here because, you know, with your husband basically being able to put himself in a position to take advantage of all of these benefits. But here's the thing. A lot of times they're so focused on qualifying, you know, and hitting their, what we call it PQS, you know, personnel qualification standards. And they're doing all this stuff, whereas they don't really have the time to really focus on the benefits. And that's where a lot of spouses can literally come in and start running those households.
Mm.
So, Jasmine, you know, how did you feel about your husband, or which was your fiance, joining the military and understanding now the opportunity that he has to literally close that wealth gap and retire two or three times within his lifestyle or life cycle.
I mean, when you're, you know, the term military brat, or like when you grow up around it, you already know exactly what comes with it, and you know the benefits that come with it.
Right.
So when somebody close to you puts emphasis on wanting to join, it's like, okay, like, well, here's the pros and here's the cons. Like, do with that what you will, you know?
Right.
Especially like when you're trying to plan your future, because like I said, with my generation, it's a lot harder to really have enthusiasm with planning, for future planning, because, you know, we don't have the same setup as older generations do.
Right.
So you're really just kind of taking a leap of faith, especially with the military, because it's such a huge commitment. Like, yeah, like, you know, you could put it in a, you know, a gold bell. It's like, look at all this stuff you could save. But it's like, in the reality of it, like how you said, they focus so much on the job.
Yes.
And what they're assigned to do. So that's when a lot of people that are lucky to have spouses can have them step in and be like, okay, you are the body, I'm the brains. So yes. At least you could focus on that, and I can hold down the fort while you're gone.
Yes. Even with life insurance, a lot of times as a civilian, you hear people talk about life insurance. I can't afford it. They'll say I can't afford it. But when you're in the military, you automatically get life insurance. Now, mm-hmm. they deduct it from your paycheck, and it's a group policy, but you have life insurance.
Yep.
Also, when the person, let's say, God forbid, your husband passed away on active duty, they have what's called a DIC, Dependency Indemnity Compensation, where that spouse will receive an income, an annuity for life. And not just the spouse, but even with the kids being able to be in the programs, whereas they're going to have college.
Yeah.
So, again, when you really look at the pros and the cons, and understanding that the military, there are risks associated with being in the military. But when you look at it as far as a job, because you're basically working for the Department of Defense, DOD, and it's a job. And so based on having that job and those skills and then that experience as far as the travel and being able to communicate and you know, being in that network, to me, it's one of the best fraternities that you could ever be in.
Yeah, that is true. I feel like because so many people obviously want to join the military, they're coming from so many different backgrounds of, you know, some people, you know, it's in their blood, you know, their uncle, their great uncle, dad, grandpa, they're all in the military. So they want to, you know, keep that tradition going. Where some people, that's, you know, that's the last straw that, you know, they have no other options.
Yeah.
And
they think it's perceived to be the last straw.
Yeah.
Yes.
And just the people that, you know, are doing it, not just for them, but thinking about their families, like, you know, people that are coming into the States wanting their citizenship and wanting to establish themselves and putting their foot in the military and stuff. So I feel like, especially within my generation, it's kind of hard to look at the military as a positive.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the military, you really, like, it's like, like you said, like a job. You have to really make the most of it.
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't, like, you know, outside looking in, it's really easy to look at the military as like, big, strong man, like, gun, boat. But, you know, there's a lot that the military does offer.
That's exactly how I think of it. Gun, boat, man. That's like, exactly what,
like,
goes
boom,
on
boom,
my
boom,
head.
Like, you know.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of the men and women that are serving, you know, they still have, you know, regular lives.
Yes.
You can ask any, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you can ask any sailor, like, you could go down Chow Hall. Or you, like, nowadays,
the
because
bowling alley.
Yeah. Or nowadays, like, because there's so many more women that join.
Yes.
You know, you go down to, like, the, you know, the barbershop or the hair salon, you know, people are getting braids in.
Yes.
Like, they're getting their nails done and stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's a community within its own area.
I like how you put that. It is a community. And you mentioned one other thing about as far as gaining your citizenship. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize you don't have to be a U.S. citizen to join the military.
No, you know.
But it's one of the fastest, one of the, in my opinion, one of the best ways to gain your citizenship by joining the military.
Yeah, that is true.
And like you said, it's a community. And I'm, you know, with me being 18 years old when I joined the military, and I was 19 when I got to Guam, And back in the day, we wanted to wear designer clothes, you know, polo and Nautica and things like that. We didn't want to show that we weren't in, that we were in the military, because it's like, you know, you're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going around different, you know, like clubs and so you got this badge saying, you know, well, you know, I'm broke. But as I got older, I love wearing things that say Navy. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of that. And again, when I was younger and we had these sweatshirts that, you know, and has to sit Navy, but you didn't wear it. If I saw somebody that had a sweatshirt that said UCLA or a hat, sweatshirt had to say UCLA or USC or something like that, that was something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you didn't want to really broadcast that you were in the military, because people knew that you didn't make a lot of money. Again, you didn't understand the benefits.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I love wearing my hat or shirt that says Navy, or whether it says Army. Why? Because if you don't have the Navy and the Army or the Coast Guard and Marines, you don't have USC. You don't have UCLA. None of these Ivy Leagues, they don't exist anymore. So again, just having the pride of understanding, you know, what you did when you were younger, what you did with your youth.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of things that you could have done, but you chose to serve your country. And then know that once you understand how the game is played as far as the benefits, and that now your country is serving you, to me, there's no greater feeling.
It's like hiding a cookie for later, and then you find that cookie.
That's spoken like a millennial. Yes. Hiding a cookie. It all comes down to that.
And see, as a baby boomer, I would have said like having finding a $20 bill in your jacket pocket, in your coat pocket, not knowing it was there.
I mean, you're right though, because like I said, a lot of people will look at you and you're like, oh, you gave your life to the military, and it's like, yeah, but the military, like, you know, all jokes aside, the military is one of the best gateways for, like, if you have an interest, like, with engineering.
Yes.
You have so many network connections, or, like, wanting to be a longshoreman.
Yes.
Like, for my best friend, like, her parents are longshoremen. And...
What's her name?
Izzy.
Izzy. Okay.
I shouted her out. I promise. But,
Izzy's short for?
Isabella.
Isabella, okay.
Everybody calls her Bella, but I call her Izzy because I'm special. But, for longshoremen, especially for the union, it's a very hard career to get into.
Yes, it is.
Because of the fact that, like, you know, you have to know a longshoreman, you have to wait for them to even have openings, and typically it goes by seniority and everything.
Right.
When you're in the military, typically contracts are already given to the military, or, like, if they're a subgroup that has worked with the military or with veterans, they'll typically try to contract them.
Yes.
Because of the fact that their foot is already in the door compared to a lot of civilians.
Yes.
Or like with firefighters and stuff. A lot of veterans, especially the younger ones around like within their 30s and stuff, that get out a little earlier, that want to go into firefighting, because a lot of people probably don't know, but a lot of sailors have to do firefighter training.
Yes.
Because especially when you're out on the sea and stuff, you need to know how to handle like you know, oil spills, oil fires, like anything like that.
Yeah, everybody's a firefighter.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you already know what you're doing going into that job. So when you're transitioning from civilian, you know, from military to civilian life, it's an easier transition.
Yes.
So like I said, like the military has such a good network for helping those sailors or those military members that know what they're getting into, to help them transition into civilian life.
Yeah. And that's why I said it, to me, it's one of the best fraternities on the planet. But again, you have to be plugged in.
Yeah.
And to be able to get that information. And that's where a lot of veterans fall through the crack, because they just unplug and they don't have, even though the resources are there, they're available. Yeah. They don't utilize those resources. So Paul, what do you think about the conversation so far?
I'm learning. I didn't know that you could join if you weren't a citizen. I assumed everybody had to be a citizen. And I don't think people understand. I still don't understand the benefits. Just what you said, most people I know, and I didn't know many that went in the service, it was either a calling, mm-hmm. you know, the family or whatever, something. There was something pulling them there. Or it's just, or I go to jail.
Right.
You know, I'm out of options here. I mean, I've known people like that.
Yes.
You know, that was it. This is your last. The judge says, you're either going in the service or I'm throwing you in jail.
Exactly.
And so one extreme or the other there. I don't think they sell it or explain it as a job. They sell it as a career, as a commitment to something else, or a way to rescue you or something here. But they don't sell it. I never think of it as a job. I mean, you get to go home at the end of the day?
Well, actually, a long time ago, there was a commercial. It's more than a job. It's an adventure. The Navy is more than a job. It's an adventure.
Right.
And so it's almost like see the world.
Right.
You know, and
that
again.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, don't get me wrong. I love being in Japan and partying in Tokyo and being in Perth, Australia, and just, you know, Singapore was the cleanest city I'd ever seen in my life. Beautiful.
That's what they say, yeah.
Beautiful. You know, waking up in the Philippines and, you know, just driving down to the flight line. I used to enjoy going to work just to drive down to the flight line in the Philippines. I mean, it was just.
But did you think of it? I mean, you don't go home at night, do you?
You go back to the barracks. Well, if you're a younger enlisted person, you go back to the barracks.
Right.
And again, which is just like a frat house.
But is her husband then, they're going to live in a house?
They have housing. Yeah. When you're married, you have a company, you have a spouse, they give you accommodations based on housing. So it used to be a time you would live on the base. Now they're more accommodating to whereas you can live outside of the base. Hmm. So, matter of fact, that's a perfect segue because now you're on your way to Guam and you're going to meet your husband. Matter of fact, give a shout out to your husband.
What's his name?
Anthony Velasco.
Anthony Velasco.
Anthony Velasco.
Yes.
And what is his rank?
Yeah. He is an MR.
Whatever that
E2.
Is.
MR is machine repairist.
Okay.
So he's an engineer.
Yeah, and he just started. So he's an E2.
Yeah.
And what ship is he on?
He is on the USS Emery S. Land.
Emery S. Land.
What kind of ship is that? Is it
a
destroyer or carrier or something? I don't know. Whatever.
It's a submarine tender.
Submarine tender. They take care of the subs. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And so what's the designation, the number?
AS-39.
AS-39.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and that's a strange name. Well, I shouldn't say strange, but
unusual.
How did that name? What about the name of the ship?
It's named after an admiral.
An admiral.
Yep.
He die or did he combat or something?
Well, typically, a lot of the ships are named after like really important people that have done something for the military.
Yeah, fought a battle or won a battle or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so him specifically, he helped design a lot of the architecture for a lot of their submarines.
Wow.
So, you know, boom, there you go. Name on the plate.
You know, actually, Paul, a lot of people don't realize this, but I have a relative that was a war hero.
Really?
Yeah, he was a sailor, and he saved a lot of people. Matter of fact, he was ended up stationed in San Diego. Back in the day, if you were African American, jobs were limited. So he worked as a cook, steward,
yeah.
on the mess deck.
Yeah.
But he knew how to swim. He was a powerful swimmer. He saved a lot of people.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, in San Diego, down at the Naval Base, they have a he had these schools like for swimmers, like SAR and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But they actually named the pool after him.
See?
His name is Charles French.
There
and,
you go.
Yeah, they're actually getting ready to name a destroyer after him.
They're going to name a destroyer after him?
Yes.
That's a pretty big honor.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is. So again, Navy is just, it's in our blood. It's just, it's part of our family tradition.
So that's the question I wanted to ask your daughter is when she's growing up, because you were on different assignments, so she was a Navy brat. She was moving around with you to different places?
Well, actually, no. By the time Jasmine was born, I was in the Army.
Yeah.
But I tell you what.
That's
another story. Let me digress a little bit. I want to stick with my son-in-law, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And because, again, he's on this ship right now. And you said the name of it was the Emery S. Land.
Yeah.
Okay. How is he adjusting? How is he doing?
I mean, from the last podcast, Anthony is 6'4", and he has a power lifter build.
Yes.
So you can visualize.
And
you know,
has he ever been out to sea? Has he ever been on a boat?
He's been on a boat before, yeah. So he loves to fish. Like, he is a very much a hands-on kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, and when it comes to marine life and stuff, if you ask him about, like, any kind of, like, animal or fish or whatnot, he just has so many facts about him.
Hey, hold on, Paul. So how is he adjusting to Guam life?
Guam life, he loves it. It's, you know, when you get your orders, especially, you know, you have, they tell you have options, but really it's just like, oh, well, we need people over here.
Right.
So especially for a specific job, it's such a small rate where it's kind of a dime a dozen.
It's specialized.
Yeah. So, especially with, specifically what an MR is, it's like, let's say you were trying to build a shelf from IKEA and you were missing like a specific bolt.
Yes.
You typically will just drive to IKEA and buy the bolt, right?
Right.
MRs will physically make that bolt.
Oh, for that submarine.
For that, yeah.
Yeah.
They'll, yeah. Basically.
Because you can't just, I mean, in the middle of the ocean, you can't you're not just put find,
on. Can't go to Home Depot.
Yeah. You can't order on Amazon Prime and just wait and they deliver it next day. No, you have to physically make it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of precision. Cool, yeah, it's a lot of precision. It's, you know, hyper focused on, you know, it. Mind you, typically some of those gears are very tiny.
Yes.
So you have to be very precise with your measurements and stuff. And it's very taxing. But it's a very much needed rate in the military.
Yes.
Because that's, you know, if something breaks on the ship, you need people that can actually fix that.
So when your daughter's growing up, this is what I was getting at. Did she ever think she was going to marry a guy in the military? Or was that the last? That's the last thing I'm going to do, buddy.
I have my suspicions.
Well, I tell you what, though, I'm honored and flattered that she did decide to marry somebody, you know, as far as the military and the discipline and the background. And like I said, they're starting out on an even keel. And so life is really what you do. It's what you make it. But the military, it gives you all the tools that you need to succeed if you want to, if you want to utilize those tools. And like I said, my son-in-law, I love him to death, great guy. And like I said, he's in Guam right now. He's on his ship. He's loving the environment that he's in. The only drawback to what, you know, as far as him dealing with right now is he doesn't have his main squeeze with him.
is that how he refers to her? That's my main squeeze.
I'm dating myself by saying
that. Yeah, you are.
But he's looking forward to Jasmine coming over there, and they're going to start looking for. It's funny because we were talking about different villages. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have communities, but they call them villages that she can actually live in. And you know, when I was dating my wife on Guam, we were they had this hotel over there in Agate. It was called Inn on the Bay. And it's just funny that, you know, I'm talking to my daughter now, and we're talking about, because I used to live in Talafofo, and so they're looking in
home.
Talafofo. beautiful area, man. And, you know, and just be having those conversations where, you know, you can live in Talafofo or Agate or Yigo, and just, you know, it's just, like I said, it's just coming full circle.
Mm-hmm. That's what's unbelievable, amazing, because many people would run from that life if they've seen it, or maybe they embrace it because they've seen it. I don't know. Apparently, it didn't scare her.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, growing up around it, it's very much a custom. Because, I mean, even though I didn't get to grow up, like, while you were serving,
right,
you still, you know, have that lingering effect. Because, obviously, you know, once you separate and you're trying to get accustomed to civilian life, and then just still being exposed
to... He still acts like he's in the military. He's got, doesn't he?
Any veteran still does that. That's just common. But Anthony was, like, for example, like with how we've been talking, he's one of those people that never thought about going to the military. And then you introduce them to all these benefits, and it's like, whoa, there's a whole other world.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because...
That's what I'm getting at. I don't think they sell that.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
I don't think they explain it or sell that. I never heard anybody say, I'm going in for the benefits. I'm going in because this is a great career, and I'm going to come out ahead.
Well, a lot of people, you hear them say, they're going in for the education. They want to get an education. Yeah. But beyond that, it stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you had people on other shows, or maybe it was another show I'm thinking of, where military came out and they said, you know, one of the things we sort of felt after we got after 20 years, I'm behind. This other person, we both went to high school. I went off the military. They went to college, and now they got a 20-year career, and they got a resume, and they got other things. I got an adventure, and I got a skill that I can't translate back here. I don't know how to make machine parts for anybody here or something. That's not a job that's probably a lot of them around here, or whatever you did, take care of aircraft, or I'm not sure even exactly what you did, but some kind of high-powered maintenance thing. So they come out feeling, oh my God, I'm behind everybody else.
Well, the only reason the reason that that happens, I'm not going to say the only reason, but the reason that it happens is because you can become institutionalized in the military.
Yes, right.
And so you get used to people telling you, go here, go there, and, you know, now it's time to eat, now it's time to sleep. And you get into that groove, and then by the time you get out of the military, it's like you're so used to people telling you what to do versus going in and having a plan. And like with me, I was in aviation. And so with me getting out of the military, my first job that I landed was with McDonnell Douglas Aircraft.
Right.
And so, again, for me, the sky was the limit. The opportunities were there. I just need to – I was already positioned and qualified. I just needed to put myself in that environment.
But even you have said numerous times, you didn't save. You didn't take advantage of some of these plans like you could have or maybe you should have.
Right.
The money – you got a big reenlistment bonus. You went and bought a car.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He didn't think, well, I'm going to set this aside and have it compound and do all this. No, I'm going to go get a stereo system. I'm going to get a car here. Something.
Yeah. But again, you sometimes you fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I presented myself to McDonnell Douglas, I was wearing the right suit, the right shirt, the right tie, the right shoes, even my portfolio. I mean, to this day, I carry a black portfolio. with business cards and stuff like that. So I was polished. I was spit shine when I was at a job fair. And as a matter of fact, somebody approached me because I was so polished. And it's like,
right.
Well, let me take a look at your resume. It's like, oh, you match well with this department. And so, like I said, the opportunities are there, but if you don't take advantage of them, it's just like anything else. I mean, you have to take the action.
What it boils down to is community again.
Yes.
So, like, if you are kind of with the people that always just want to go party and stuff,
exactly.
That's what you're going to go do.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that the military is a lot more flexible than people think it is. I mean, obviously, with the, you know, whole leave thing, like, nope, you got to work on Christmas. Like, that's the no-brainer. But if you go in letting them know you want to further your education.
Yes.
Especially yes. If you're married, you and your spouse can literally go to college for free.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what major it is, they will... no matter what type of rate or job you have in the military, they will set aside time to make sure you can do that.
Yes. And what if you're both in the military? Are there a lot of the cases, like, you're not joining the military, but if you did join, I don't see how that would work because you'd go get assigned one place and he'd get assigned.
Actually,
yeah, they make accommodations.
Yeah, go typically ahead, they'll account for that. So, like,
yes.
Let's say if you're married and you have your spouse on your orders, especially if your spouse is also within the military, they will purposely put you guys in the same area. Sometimes they'll have them separate depending on, like, if your jobs are just completely different, but it's very slim for them to do that.
Right.
But they typically will work around that because they understand, like, okay, yeah, you're serving, but because both of you are serving, it's easier to keep you guys together than to separate you guys.
Right. And back in the day, they wouldn't allow women in combat roles.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's changed a lot now. So a lot of times, even aboard ship, you know, you got husband and wives or shore duty. Let's say if you're at a Naval Air Station or something, there are jobs that both of you guys can do while you're at that Naval Air Station.
Because that seems like you're double dipping. You're getting twice the benefits out of it here.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of times people don't think about VA compensation.
Right.
Because, again, it's not a part of the equation when you're on active duty. But once you get out and you have VA compensation, the husband and the wife could be 100%, rated at 100% permanent total. And we're talking about, you know, let's say that's over $4,000 a month for an individual.
For each of them.
So we're talking times two,
yeah.
$8,000. And we haven't even talked about their TSP. We
right.
haven't even talked about their Social Security.
Or their,
we haven't even talked about their retirement.
Yeah.
Or their secondary retirement. So, again, you're talking about an $8,000 base just getting out the gate.
Yeah.
So, again... It's Paul. People don't understand. They don't know, and as far as having the education and the knowledge of what this institution can actually do for themselves and
most
their family.
Kids coming out of high school are thinking they're not thinking of the military as a way to build a retirement.
But here's the problem:
build money.
When
to close the wealth gap.
People in high school, they send recruiters.
Yep.
to recruit these guys in high school, even college. But
right.
guess what? The recruiters are on active duty.
Yeah.
They're not veterans.
Oh, so they're just talking about the adventure.
That's right.
And serve the
exactly.
country.
Yeah. Exactly.
Share their stories while you're trying to do some pull-ups.
Exactly. Now, can you imagine that they use veterans to recruit people and give them the full story?
Oh, nobody ever. I never heard the story. So, look, kid, if you put in 20 years, you can come out with a check for this, a check for this, a check for this, or savings for this, a discount for this, a benefit for this, a free thing for this.
Or imagine you didn't have time to go to college when you were on active duty, but now you have what's called the VRNE, Voc Rehab, where they'll actually send you to college. Now, here's the thing. This is not an educational program. VRNE or Voc Rehab is not an educational program. It's for rehabilitation based on a vocation, being able to place you in a job.
Right.
But if you need a bachelor's degree or a master's degree for that job, they will send you to school and they will pay for it.
Wow.
And give you a monthly stipend while you're going to school.
I never hear it presented in financial terms. I always hear it presented in adventure or macho or patriotic or adventure. I never hear it presented in dollars and cents.
Well, that's because people don't lock in the clothes in the wealth gap.
That's it.
But that's why it's so important to have people like you, what you do, because you're literally giving a gateway to a generation that basically, essentially, we watched everybody go up the ladder, and then when we try to go up the ladder, it's like, nope, go ahead.
Pulled the ladder behind you, yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to touch that.
Wow.
So, like, you're physically, especially when it comes to that community, you're giving them that ladder.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, especially before I gave you your allowance.
It's okay. I'm hoping for an extra
$20. $20, wow. That much?
But again, I love what I do. And they say, if you love what you do, you never work another day in your life. And so for me, it's like I have this saying, I love what I do and I do what I love. And every day is just, it's an opportunity to help people. And not just help that individual, but I have a saying, each one teach one. Once you get on board, once you get on that path, then help somebody else. Like in the military, you got this thing called a battle buddy. And so you're looking out for each other, especially if you're out on leave and stuff like that. There's somebody that's watching your six or somebody's watching your back. Why not do this with finance? You understand this information now. Now teach your battle buddy, teach somebody within your network so that, like you said, it's a community. Mm-hmm. And, instead of just going out and drinking all the time or getting in trouble, take that time and don't waste it. Capitalize on it. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's the message for today. How do they find you if they want to get some coaching, some advice here?
Well, again,
a battle buddy.
Even if you're on Diego Garcia right now, Diego Garcia.
Way out there.
Out in the ocean. Just text Tyrone French at 36260 or www.tyronefrench.com. You can Google me. Just Google Tyrone French or Google Tyrone French and Associates. Matter of fact, if you use AI, ask AI about Tyrone French or Tyrone French and Associates.
Those robots know you're here?
Yeah. I'm plugged in, buddy.
I guess so.
I was shocked when I asked AI about Tyrone French. It's like, he's the man.
He's the man. Well, because so few people are, just what your daughter said, nobody's talking about it from this perspective. They're not talking about it as wealth accumulation. They're not talking about it as career building. They're not talking about it as dollars and cents.
Right.
They're talking about it for other reasons.
And here's the thing, though. Neither did I until I understood
right.
the advantages and the benefits.
Right.
So
we'll come back and we'll talk about more because it sounds like a powerful way to close. Can you imagine coming out of 62, anybody listening, particularly if your spouse was in there too, and you're each getting $4,000 or $5,000, maybe just from your, disability rating?
Yeah, disability.
And then you're still getting a pension.
Yes.
And you're still getting
Social
Security. And you're still getting whatever money you save.
From your TSP.
And retirement. You could be making a lot of money.
You become a millionaire before the money manifests.
Yeah.
You start with the idea and you start with the goal.
Right.
And you see yourself as a millionaire. A lot of veterans or people on active duty military and veterans, they don't see themselves as millionaires. But guess what? That's what they are.
No, and instead we hear the opposite.
Nobody has put the dots together for them.
Instead, we hear constantly the story they come out, and because of their stress and PTSD and stuff, can't get a job, can't fit in, and they end up homeless. They end up broke. You've talked about how many of these guys, guys and girls, come out broke.
Yes, yes.
Or quickly go broke because they don't know how to manage the money and do things. And you're saying, but if they had planned it and utilized what was there, they could have come out ahead, not behind.
Well, again, you know what? You mentioned PTSD. Yeah, I have PTSD. There are times when, life is kicking me in the butt, you know. But I have this career. I have this background. I have this knowledge.
Right.
And for me to share this knowledge and help my brothers and sisters that's in the military, it's therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic. So.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, and we look forward to hearing more. When do you ship out to Guam? When do you go?
To be determined.
To be determined. So we might see you again? Okay.
Hopefully not. Not anytime soon.
Oh, well, okay.
I'll give you guys a call, but...
Yeah, we're expecting her ticket any day now.
Yeah. Okay.
But we will do a another show while she's on Guam.
Yep.
I think that would be cool. Tell us what you're seeing on the ground there.
Yeah, exactly.
From ground zero.
Exactly. Well, at the end, Paul, thank you for this show. I've had a great time. Jasmine, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having
me. This is one you're going to listen to years from now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's our show for this week, Closing the Wealth Gap, the one show, the only show that shows you how to take control of your financial future. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.